every time I bring up my favorite movie or song, y'all call my shit corny. You act like I don't have no taste and no flavor. I'm a Luddite or some bullshit like that. What kind of particular shit is that? It's the shit I like. That's what I like. That's my type of shit. You know? Why don't you know y'all just say something nice?
It's showtime.
Stop in the name of love before you break my heart. Baby, baby, I'm aware of where you go. Each time you leave my door, I watch you walking down the street.
Brandon, that is the sonic whispering.
I love you, me. But this time before you leave my arms, and rush off to her charms. Thinking, oh, oh, haven't I been good to you? Thinking, oh, haven't I been sweet to you? Stop in the name of love
before you break my heart.
That's how she does it, yes.
But you were not whispering.
I'm sure the butt was not.
You were trying to sing with your whole voice.
Yes. I was trying to sing with my throat. My diaphragm.
And not with your nose?
Not with my nose, no.
You know what? Someone's going to send
me. Actually, Diana Ross doesn't sing with her nose. Most of the records that you hear her on are she's singing below her natural register. Her natural register is a high soprano. If you listen to the early Supremes records, you can hear her singing her natural tone. It's, you know, it's even higher than one that she has.
Wait. Are you saying she made a conscious decision to whisper?
No, she didn't make the decision. Holland, Dozier, and Holland made that decision for her.
Hold on. This changes everything. You're telling me that... No. You can't just say that. No. So you're telling me that she does have power. She just was told not to go all the way.
Every Motown singer was told not to go all the way. Well, I know all the after ones you, on the major labels, the ones in the minor.
Yeah, because you were saying that he wanted
what's his name?
It to be a universal. Huh?
What's his name? He wanted it to be a universal sound. I got you. It's Berry Gordy Jr. That was just a setup. Would you like to introduce yourself to the audience, please? This one, he says, we're going to get you one of them brain teasers that we're going to increase your ability to hold information so that you don't ever get lost and keep just looking at random people and saying, P. Sherman, 44, Wildy Way, Sydney, Australia. I worry about you sometimes.
Mark my words, Brandon. As this is the Lord's Day, I will find something.
It's not the Lord's Day.
On you.
I mean, every day is the Lord's Day, but it's not Sunday. That's what you're about.
I will find something to get you back with. You just wait.
Just you wait. Henry Higgins, just you wait. Would you like to introduce the show, please?
Welcome, everybody. This is the Say Something Nice podcast. And with your host...
What's your name? You do your own name, don't you?
With your hosts, Ali and Brandon.
Hi. Hi there! Let my man and the producers be sitting down that banister. Hi there! This is my choreographer, Scott. Hi there!
He didn't get any crotch burn.
At least our lighting designer, Shirley Mackowitz.
Hello.
Keep it gay.
Oh, God. What a crazy play. Oh, my God. Okay.
But it was much better than the movie. The movie was terrible. Even though the movie basically just filmed the play. That's why you just don't film plays when you make movies out of them. That's a key example.
All right, you movie critique-er. So here's the deal. This is our review of Atlanta Season 2, Episode 5, called Barbershop.
And it has nothing to do with Ice Cube, Cedric the Entertainer, Eve, or Michael Ealy.
What? I don't know what the... So, we should have a... Should we have a Michael Ealy episode? Is that why you keep doing that? Because you're really gunning for it. You really want a Michael Ealy episode.
I don't think I'll be able to properly behave myself in a Michael Ealy episode.
Say no more.
That and I need damp rid after we were done.
You need bread?
No, damp rid.
I don't know what that is.
It's moisture.
Never mind. I just realized. You're ridiculous. Your American accent made you mess up. In my head, it's like as if, wait, that doesn't sound like those two words coming together. And then I realize that if I flip the two words, yeah. Okay. Why you like this? All right.
So Barbershop was directed by Donald Glover, written by Stefani Robinson.
Right.
It is a whole nigga adventure. Just a lot like the one from last year when him and Darius went all around up and down Buford Highway.
So, Brandon, question for you.
Uh-huh.
Are white people going to be able to connect with this episode?
Fuck nah. White people and some black people who shave their heads or have dreadlocks. It's a very, very specific black male experience episode. It trades upon the most intimate relationship in every black man's life. Not his significant other, not his mama, not his daddy, not his siblings or his cousins or his aunties or his work people or his boss.
Or his child
is with his barber.
Brandon, the Twitter was alive.
Like Julie Andrews on that mountain.
Listen. just twirling in all the in that meadow. In that plateau. Right? That Scandinavian plateau.
It was Germany, but keep going. It was Austria, actually. Keep going.
So here's the deal. This episode brought up all kinds of feelings online. People ranged from, you know, man, I really connect to this, to this is giving me PTSD.
Right.
And I'm going to need at least a whole bottle after this episode.
So it gave me both. I both connected and I had PTSD. So do you want to do the recap first and I tell you my story, or do you want me to tell my story first?
So
let's do this. Let's do a light recap if we can right quick. So then I can tell my story. Yeah. Then we'll do the deep dive.
Okay. All right, cool. So I took in my notes, I basically centralized the goings ons to these, to basically four different, scenes, right? You have the barbershop, you have BB's baby mama place.
What's his name?
Bibi.
Bibi.
What?
Bibi.
Bibi.
Yeah, like a bib, like a kid, like a child's bib.
Yeah, Bibi.
Jesus Christ.
Do we need a bumper here where it's like elevator music while you explain, and then we come back and be like, hey, all right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't know, our host Ali hails from the small tropical island of Dominica, where everybody there speaks the proper Queen's English with a distinctive African-styled accent. Therefore, certain words that come out of his mouth more proper and more Wakandian than they appear in the mirror. Now back to our show.
Strength. Grant me the strength, Bast.
Okay. Running to Hanuman.
Okay. All right. So it's not Bibi. It's Bibi.
Yeah, it's Bibi. Bibi is a gospel singer with her brother Cece.
Okay. Bibi. So we have
Bibi is the girl.
The
right?
Second place is we have Bibi's baby mama place, right? The construction. The construction site, right? The kids that, you know, his kid, you know, on the street. And then back to the, you know, then, you know, they head back to the barbershop, basically.
Right.
Right.
So what is the general quick consensus of what the plot is? So I can tell my story.
So basically, Alfred, aka Paperboy, he has a photo shoot coming up.
Sorry, BB is the dude. CC is the girl. My bad. We keep going.
Okay. So Paperboy has a photo shoot for some kind of a I don't know, an interview or something, or a magazine spread or some kind of a
it's editorial. Both. It's an interview and a magazine spread.
Okay. Cool. And so, you know, they want to, you know, have him fresh, or he wants to be, you know, obviously fresh for the photo shoot. So, you know, he is here at his barbershop's, barbershop's place to get, you know, freshened up and get a good haircut and a lineup, right? So this is why he's here. And his barber is Bibi. Bibi is every black man's barber rolled into one. Or maybe I should say the worst parts of every... The best part is the fact that Bibi can cut your hair.
He's that awesome. Nigga was a goddamn... He was a magician.
He really was.
I said, bitch, I get it.
Yeah, because here's the deal. I was saying when that particular scene showed up, I said, it is very important that they have that one particular scene where they show Bibi actually cutting hair.
Mm-hmm.
And the finished product. Because you need to understand why Alfred is putting up with this shit. This is why. Because for all Bibi's faults, he's an excellent barber. Okay? So that's why he's here. He's here for Bibi. Bibi shows up and all of the worst parts of every black man's barber comes to the surface. And it turns into a whole adventure around Atlanta before Paperboy can get a proper haircut. So that is the synopsis, because Bibi keeps getting into shenanigans and he can't get out of his own way to cut Alfred's hair. It's basically Bibi taking advantage of this very, like Brandon said, intimate relationship between a barber, black man, and his barber.
Yeah, because Alfred's basically held hostage the whole episode. Like,
exactly.
And I'm sure somebody watching would be like, why does he get a different barber? It don't work like that. So
also, you're white.
Well, what if they're Latin or Asian? Yeah. Oh, no, I know. Latin people got the same. Latin people, listen, Paul Mooney told y'all, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Cubans, ain't no but niggas that can swim.
Oh boy.
No, I've known enough black people. They have the same relationship with their barber. So here's my story. So when I first moved to Atlanta, I went through
flashback fog.
Like Scooby-Doo. Shoot, 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 shoot. With a little wrinkle of screen and everything. Mm-hmm. This was 8 years ago. I had just moved here. And so the first thing that you always find when you try to move to a new city when you are a Negro is a barber.
Boom.
When I was in Florida, I had a worse time because I lived in Orlando and I lived on the east side of Orlando, where at the time there were no black barbers.
Oh,
none. Oh, zero. So I had to get on. This is before my dad let me take my car down because I was in college. So I had to get on the bus, take the bus all the way to the colored section of town.
Okay.
Where I actually found a barber. So I used to do that all. Like I used to drive when I got my car 20 miles to get a barber. And then finally started opening shops on the other side of town, on my side of town. But that one shop they opened, the business, like putty in their hands. Because even then, like, it was easier at that time. Back then, this was like 2001, just to get you somebody, you know, if you knew a barber who would cut your hair and you bought your own clippers, you know. So a lot of people did okay. that. But you had to make sure you keep yourself clean so you don't get them bumps on the back of your head.
Right.
You seen niggas with them bumps.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
It's not pretty at all. So in 2010, when I moved here, you know, I went around. Atlanta's different than Orlando because, you know, Atlanta's, once upon a time, thank you, gentrification, it was a black city. And so, you know, there were barbershops everywhere, franchises, big shops, little shops, tall shops, short shops, one fish, two fish, red fish, and blue fish. So Eventually I went to a shop not far from my apartment and I met a barber. I ain't going to use his real name. He didn't use his real name.
Don't do it.
Let's call him Dre.
All right, Dre.
Because he reminded me a lot of Andre 3000.
All right, Dre the barber.
Yeah. So Dre was my barber at this one shop. And then so I came back one day and like I was like, where's Dre? Oh, he moved to another shop. Bitch, I went to that shop too. That was when I started making appointments, you know. Unheralded innovation of the first decade of the 21st century is the Black Barber Appointee Book, mm-hmm. made possible usually thanks to Google Calendar and iCal.
oh, wait a second. Hold on. Your barber was doing that?
Yeah. Your barber doesn't take appointments?
No, how he was taking appointments. You're saying he was using...
Mine was using a book, actual book, but there are some that, you know, they use...
I was like, wow.
Yeah, mine had... Dre had an actual black book with written in it. But yeah, so he changed barbershops at least a good four times after that. And it was like, my buddy, wherever he goes, I go.
Yeah, that's right.
Because listen... You know, sometimes he wouldn't be available and I have to go and be a strumpet and go outside with my skirt above my knee and stick a little bit of leg out and try to get another barber, you know.
Yoo-hoo!
Yeah. Hey, boss. But it wouldn't be the same. It would never be the same. Because Dre had learned, you know, the circumference of this very large head of mine. He knew... what looked best on it, where the hair should be, which side should go down first, you know, everything. How not to push my hairline back. That's always an important thing with a barber. Make sure you don't push your fucking hairline back and make you balder than you already is. All that stuff, you know. And if I had like a really bad like work month and I had to come in for 4 weeks and I looked like buckwheat, no offense to buckwheat, rest in peace, he would transform me into Stymie.
Okay.
Because Stymie was cleaned up. He had a nice baldy, but we had all the hair going everywhere. That's what the reference is for. Little Rascals. All right, gang, look it up. Yes,
we know.
And so this went on. As a matter of fact, when I met you and I had the frohawk,
mm-hmm.
Dre did that. He taught me into that.
Oh, Oh, he talked you into it? He was like, bro, I got something that's going to make your hair really pop.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And the beard, too. The long beard.
So here's the deal. Only your barber can get you to do that. Only a barber that you've been with and that you trust.
Right.
Can get you to take it's these kinds of leaps of faith.
It's about trust, babe. My phone went a different direction. All right, but yeah, but unfortunately, a terrible thing happened last year. Well, multiple terrible things happened last year. I had to have eye surgery. We elected, we swore in Orange Demon as the president. Justice League came out. Ugh. And Dre retired from barbering.
Wow.
Like, he had enough of it. Exactly.
What is Brandon to do?
Listen, I was there like Effie White in my flats and my sparkly bronze colored dress.
Oh, God.
With the lights coming up, turning off slowly above my head.
Oh, God.
Saying, I'm not going.
Listen.
Because the thing is, you know, in addition to barbering, I did video work and graphics work for Dre. You know, I endured him telling me all sorts of conspiracy theories about anything and everything. Listen.
See.
I had to tell him to stop talking to me about Bill Cosby.
Listen.
When the Bill Cosby thing happened.
Listen. We'll get into that too.
Yeah, because
There's a section of the relationship between a barber.
There are boundaries. There are rules and boundaries.
But like you said, Brandon, you tend to feel like you're a hostage, right? If you're not about yourself completely, you will essentially just get taken hostage. And every kind of conversation, any idea that comes into your barber's mind, he's just going to spit that out to you.
And barbers are good for get-rich-quick schemes. They are so good for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
Ideas and just ramblings, rants, and whatever, that's just going to come tumbling out. And if you're not good for yourself, you're going to find yourself in conversations that you would have never thought. That you will betray your own morals.
You're going to drift away, like that song.
Yeah.
Drift away. But yeah, so okay. I went looking for other barbers and, you know, it was difficult. You know, like, this process is always difficult, you know, and just, you know. But I found another barber. Like, he's cool. You know, he has other jobs too, of course. You know, he's always sending me, he's always texting me random get rich quick internet thingies that I had to say. Thanks, but no thanks, delete. So what's my next appointment? But yeah, he put me up on like better maintenance products and things like that, you know, and that was very appreciative, you know. So I mean it's a good fit so far. But yeah, so that's my barber story. And the other thing was, well, I had one more story. So reason why you stick with a barber. The barber you should trust so the barbershop I go to, like, you know, it's like they put on like a tie and a vest and everything. They play some R&B music and stuff, some jazz and everything. You know, it's chill and relaxed. My barber had a family emergency to attend to the other week. So I had to go to a different barbershop. Hoping I could make lightning strike twice, I went to the same barbershop where I first met Dre. And see, maybe I can have a barber on the side. This is the one I told you about, where I pulled up behind it, and there were six niggas partaking of a green smoking substance.
Medicinal purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they brought their medicinal purposes on into the barbershop. And we're proceeding to cut people's heads.
No, they brought
while under the influence
the aroma,
and they brought the aroma and the red eyes and everything
and the influence.
One of them niggas trying to talk to me and get me set up with one of the other barbers who was not. right? And I swear to God, I think he looked right through me into the window. That's how, that's where his eyes were looking.
He was seen into another plane.
He had that Jefferson Pierce vision. So the one who actually did cut my hair was not like that, but I had to wait like hours for one of these niggas to be open because half of them are out back smoking. But if you smoke, do it at home after hours, please. I need a professional environment. Oh, and they were playing all of the like the ratchet hits from 2001. Songs that I swore up and down I would never hear. I never wanted to hear again.
If it was your decision.
Yeah. By the end of my haircut, miraculously, some Talib Kweli and some Common had come to bless me, wash over me. And, you know, all that kind of, yeah.
That's called irrigation.
Right, yeah.
That's called. Okay. Because after all that, yeah, you got irrigated.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was so happy to be back in the barbershop the next week. And I was just like, ah.
Home.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. So, Brennan touched on a couple of points that we're going to be exploring during this review of Atlanta. Funnily enough, I happen to be lucky that the original barber who cut my hair as a kid, he moved to Atlanta before I moved to Atlanta.
Wait, so your barber's from the damn island?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Ugh, you y'all, y'all secret network of niggas.
Yeah.
I'm yeah. jealous. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. So, as tall as a grasshopper.
You imported your barber.
This.
Did you bring that nigga over in the customs bag?
Stop it. I told you that he came to here before I did. So, yeah. But I was surprised. I was like, wait a second. You mean he's here too? That's interesting. And sure enough, I walked in and at first, he didn't recognize me because there was a period where when I was in my teens and back home, he had already left. So, you know, I had another barber that my father trusted, right? And so then when I came to America and my mom was like, oh, by the way, such and such, you know, he's here. I went there and he didn't recognize me because then I had a beard. I let him know who I was, and he was like, oh, yeah, because he knows me as a little kid. So yeah, I have my original barber is back. I have him again.
My barber is back, and there's gonna be trouble. Hey, now, my barber is back.
My barber is back.
Lord, we ain't got no sense.
So he knows just like old Brandon was like the circumference, the you know, every length, every bump, bruise, callus, whatever you want to call it, he knows. So that's why I can just be like, hey, give me the usual, just like Paperboy, or I could be like, hey, I feel confident enough to ask him, hey, what do you recommend for blah, 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 right? And whatever he says, I'm like, that's the one, do it. I do not question him. I do not. So, yeah. So, speaking of which, let's just talk about, first of all, set design, all right?
Yes, sir.
Because I swear to God. Because
that you can sort of kind of peek and tell that wasn't a real barbershop. Only because I know enough about, like, I know enough of set design to, like, peek and stuff. Like, they actually gathered all that shit. Either that or they took us something and they really decorated it up if it actually was a real barbershop. But I think it was important that it doesn't look like, you know, it's not an old-fashioned barbershop that's been there for a long ass time. That barbershop's probably like 5 or 10 years old, if that. It's in a storefront. Yeah, in a storefront in Atlanta, like they always are. You know, they got all the sports teams, like the clocks embedded, the TV's embedded in the basketball. They got the soccer team. They got the Hawks. They got the Braves.
The comedy club.
Yep.
Ads on the wall as well. I mean,
And they got them old ass dusty posters.
Yes.
Listen, I laughed so fucking hard because like, they showed the poster. I was like, oh, the Atlanta logo is on usually on this frame. Where is it? I looked for a strong minute, a strong 5 seconds before I realized it was in the title of that little poster. Mm-hmm. And I hollered so loud.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was. Do you think that they should have probably tried? Well, I guess they just couldn't because they couldn't get into an actual barber shop and like change it, right? They had to.
No, it looked fine. It looked perfectly fine.
I mean, it looks okay, but I see what Brandon was talking about. Like, you know,
that it looked a little bit too clean, just maybe a little bit too clean.
Yeah. So if maybe, for example,
niggas TV is fine. Don't worry about it.
Excuse me. I mean,
bless you.
You know, sorry. Thank you.
No, it's fine. Listen, y'all might hear us sniffle a little bit. It's the first week of April in Atlanta. That means that everybody's allergies are kicking them in the booty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I walked in. Like I was saying, Brandon, before we started recording that, people at work probably thought I was high. But you know what? I feel like Atlanteans know by now, April, there's going to be a lot of people who are looking like me right now. So they won't. Hopefully they didn't judge too harshly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, that is a barber setup that a lot of people are used to.
Yeah,
and so it placed your mind in the mood to get the feels poked at,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the very first scene is literally everybody can relate to this, right? You're sitting. You're here for your appointment. You're sitting in a chair, but your barber is nowhere to be found.
Listen,
where is he? Is he in the back? What? Where are you, baby?
And you can tell that it's been a while since Alfred has seen the inside of a barbershop. This nigga's got his got a Michael Jackson 1970 special.
and it just doesn't match the shape of his head.
No, not at all.
It does not match your
head. Paperboy, stop. The love you save will be your own.
Because, listen, somebody need to save that hair. Okay? So yeah. So he's here. You could tell that he's been here for a little bit because he has a relaxed.
That's his barber.
Sort of pose. Yeah. Ali, so he's. No, I mean, no. As in to say, he's been here, sitting in this chair for a while now, waiting.
Oh, yeah.
So, because you can tell by the way he's, like, posted up on the chair, it's just...
Well, no, we saw him walk in.
Where the fuck is baby?
No, we saw him walk in. The thing is, he's in a hurry.
I don't remember seeing Alfred walk in.
He walked in. I remember he walked in.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Are you sure? Because the only person I walked in.
Oh, wait. Oh, Brandon, shit. You're right.
The only person I saw walked in was Bibby.
You're right. Never mind. We saw Bibby walk in. You're right. I'll be quiet.
Oh, okay.
I'll shut up.
Yeah.
Hey, Obama so poster.
A picture of Obama was definitely there.
Yeah.
My barber has that too. My barber has a picture of Obama and he also has a picture of the
the
first family. Yeah. No, he has a picture of the first family together.
So Barack, Michelle, Sasha, Malia. Is Bo in it?
Yeah.
Hmm? Is Bo in the picture?
Is that the dog?
Yeah.
No, the dog is not in the picture.
Okay.
Yeah, but definitely them together.
My bad, you're right.
There is nowhere in the barbershop where obviously Agent Orange exists. It's like as if it's always perpetually
2015.
It's perpetually 2008 to 2016.
The barbershop exists in a warp zone, man.
Yeah. It's a whole different, another plane of existence.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, like I said, you know, Paperboy from the very first scene looks like as if he's been sitting here for a while now with no baby. So, anyways, baby shows up and Brandon If Baby shows up with food, he's got Hardee's.
I noticed that with the little star with the smile on his face.
God damn it. Atlanta, I hate you. Why are you doing this? Because that's the other thing. So from the jump, right, everybody can relate to the fact that there's been too many times when their barber, because a barber, his life, his day-to-day, his day schedule is very busy, right? He doesn't have time to go out and sit and eat at a restaurant or wherever, or take a break.
Shit, don't know barbers. Them niggas will take a break.
Well, I mean, he has to sneak in a bite to eat in the back. You know, sometimes, you know, so that's why sometimes...
Is that what your barber does? My takes a break.
Well, oh, really? No, yes. My barber, he goes to the back and he eats, you know...
Oxtail.
Takes a quick bite to eat. And, please believe. Oh, I'm not even going to lie. He will take his fish plate. He will take his oxtail, you know, with rice and peas, or, you know, his barbecue chicken or whatever. He'll go to the back. And he'll eat, and then he'll come back. But yeah, too many times, and often, it's the barber sends one of the local people who show up there to clean to get the food for them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen at your barbershop, Brandon?
Yeah, or
where there's like always this one designated person.
Usually it's a kid, or an intern who works there, like the girl who washes hair.
Yeah, right. They send that person out to get the food for them, and you know, so and they pick up the order for everybody. So that's how they can maintain staying there and still cutting whilst, you know, other things in their life get taken care of, right? So yeah, so Baby walks in and
he's so on Brandon, the phone. He's and I'm just on the phone. This nigga has a goddamn Bluetooth.
Brandon, tell me. So I wasn't here. I don't think I was. No, I wasn't in this country when. Wait, when did Bluetooth come around?
Nigga, you were here
after 2003.
Yeah, it was after 2003, like 2007, 2008.
Okay. So, Brandon, how fast did it take your barber to you were still. You came to Atlanta in 2010.
I never had a barber who had Bluetooth.
Came back. Okay,
my barber's always answering the phone and put it to their head. But I know. But really? Listen. I've seen way too many old black men. It's always, y'all, you can tell a black man is over the age of 40. He has a Bluetooth in his ear and he's always on it. Always on it.
Yeah. So that's the one thing. My father, who his phone is going off the hook every other second, that's the one thing my father never got. And I think that was a conscious decision on my mother's part. To make sure he never acquires that, because then he would never he would never be like in the moment with us right here. He would always be on the phone. So yeah, the Bluetooth is definitely a thing that my barber uses. My barber is young-ish, and so most of the time When I get there, he is definitely on the phone. And this is, Bluetooth is probably like the saving grace for a lot of people, including barbers, because now this whole hands-free bit means that I can cut your hair and I can have conversations, scheduling other things,
to side businesses or appointments.
Sometimes to your annoyance. Yeah. So for example, here in this scene, you have Bibi walks in with his food and he's on the phone having a whole conversation. And Alfred is in a hurry. You can tell by the expression on his face, but he doesn't know when Baby is going to be ready to talk to him, essentially, right? So because you can't see, and because you're in the barber chair, right, you can't see when the person is actually, you know, looking in your direction to have a conversation. So he's guessing sometimes that, you know, one of these times that Baby is talking to him, where he's like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm late. So Baby literally says, "Ah, man, I'm sorry, I'm late, man. You know, such and such, you know, whatever is happening, blah, blah." Paperboy is like, "Nah, it's all good, man." He was like, "What you say, bro?"
Baby, I'm on the phone, man. I'm on the phone. And he shushes him.
I'm on the phone. And then he puts his finger. He shushes Brandon. Listen, that's when I knew. I was like, "Oh, shit. Oh, shit. This is the episode. This is the episode. Brandon, I buckled in." I knew then that we were going to see, we're going to really test Alfred's patience in this episode. I knew it. So Bebe cries out of his conversation, right? And eventually, you know, Alfred has to, you know, remind him, hey, I'm here for a reason, right? And so Bebe, here's what Bebe says, friend, that killed me. Bebe's like, hey, man, I got to go. I got someone in the chair. I need a little hostile. I was like, what did you say? And again, you will see conversations and things that Bebe says that, you know, if you were just talking to a guy on the street or a regular friend, they would never tell you to the face. But because this is Alfred's barber, he can get away with some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Because we've watched a whole season of Atlanta already, right? A season and a half of Atlanta already. And we know Alfred's attitude. He doesn't take shit from anybody. But his barber, though, a barber is in a whole other category of relationship for a black person. A black man, excuse me.
Black man or a black woman who gets her hair cut in the barber shop or something.
Like true. And so he, Alfred knows that he needs to skate carefully. He needs to tiptoe carefully around this one because he may just lose out on a very important, you know, thing if he's, you know, obviously if your hair is fucked up. Anywho, so, yeah, so of course, Bebe is like, you know, what we doing today, bro? And of course, Alfred's not sure. Are you talking to me or are you on the phone? He's like, no, I'm talking. What are we going to do? The usual. Brandon, please explain to the listeners what the usual is.
Nigga, it's the usual. Your barber knows your hair. He knows your haircut.
Exactly.
There's no reason to be like, let's do this and that and this and that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and this is important, obviously. This is a good foreshadowing for what's to come, you know, towards the end of the episode. But it's important to establish here that the barber for, I guess, for our non-colored folk watching, that that it's not telepathic or anything like that. Your barber, like Brandon says, he knows your head intimately. And he knows what your usual is, so you never have to go into detail, right?
Right.
Unfortunately, Alfred has to explain that. Alfred has to repeat this answer several times because Bebe is still trying to have his own conversation after he's hung up the phone.
Yeah.
Pretty much with himself and partially Alfred. So Alfred has to repeat that like almost like three times. The usual, Bebe. And so, oh boy. Here's where the shenanigans really start, Brandon. Because I told you before at the beginning of the episode that your barber is the kind of person who, when you're sitting in the chair, you feel hostage to every kind of conversation that he might want to start with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so here goes Bebe with conversations like, hey, let me show you this video online.
Yes. Did you hear about this? Yes, news? Jesus, yes.
Let me show you this.
Did you see that invisible car news? At the club on YouTube?
Listen, Brandon, when he said, you know the funny thing is, Bebe said, did you hear the news about like a car basically crashing into a T-Mobile store and them swiping all of the phones? Brandon, the fact, that wasn't the funny part. The fact that Bebe follows up by saying, if you know anybody
who needs a phone, iPhone.
I was like, Bebe, what is you talking about?
That's a barber.
I thought he was just reporting on the news. Bebe, how Bebe have the hookup already, Brandon?
I mean, he did it. It was him.
Allegedly. Exactly. That's the best part about that. Is that it's allegedly. Like, there, it's, again, so this is, I like, I like the idea of this sort of, again, a barber being almost like a magical Negro in that sort of sense. Because mm-hmm. remember, Atlanta in itself is its own kind of character in the show, right? And it's this is another attribute of Atlanta being this sort of urban sort of myth sort of thing, right? Where we interact with our barbers every day, but here this show takes it to another level, right? Because like I said, it's every bit of the worst parts of your barber,
right?
The interesting, the strange parts all rolled into one person. So that is Bibi. So yeah. The news of the robbery, the fact that he has a hookup, the fact that, you know, he's trying to sell you something. He's trying to show you some videos. The him talking about Keanu with Key and Peele.
Yeah, he went to the movie theater and said he ain't seen no black people on any of the movie poster. He saw Key and Peele made a movie, but they bought a cat and they dressed the cat like a nigga. And I think Alfred was like, so they put a cat in a suit, or you know what a nigga cat look like, don't you? But of course, this dude cannot keep his phone off, so he answers another phone.
No, he can't.
He's calling his Bluetooth, and oh no, because he goes to the bathroom before he starts actually cutting Alfred's hair all the way. Mm-hmm. He made like a couple strokes mm-hmm. in the head. He went to the bathroom, and Alfred has his phone, and he gets a phone call from Water Drops from Peach.
Water Drops and Peach. Brandon, that is so. Oh God, if that ain't black.
Yeah, and so of course, you know, this is an angry girlfriend who's yelling. He's like, mm-hmm. He's like, okay, baby, it's fine. I'm coming right up 85 right now. And so he's mm-hmm. like, he's like, I gotta go.
Look, he started wrapping up shit, Brandon. And I was like, oh my God. Because
I felt Paperboy's anger in my own spirit.
Right. Because like Brandon said, he'd already started one side of the head. When you start, you can't just stop in the middle. This isn't like one of those things. This is one of those things where, you know, if you cut, you know, just a little bit of Becky's hair, she can just throw the bangs over one side and just cover it up until you're ready to do the next part. No, this is African hair. You can't just cut one side of it and stop. You need to continue all the way until the end, or at least make something, or at least like mow the shit down so everything's leveled.
Or put a hat on. So Paperboy, of course, loudly protests. And, you know, and Bibby's like, no, man, you come with me. He's like, I just gotta go to my girl house. You know, she lives five minutes from here. Of course she don't. I'll cut your hair over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
listen, what I love is that in the same breath, Bibi can tell two people within earshot of each other two different lies to explain something.
Yeah.
And nobody is questioning it, right? Because right. I swear Bibi said on the phone that he is on the highway going up there and he'll be there in such and such minutes. Then he tells Alfred, literally, it's 5 minutes up the street. What? Yeah. Which is it, baby?
And so, I mean, that's it, man. These two niggas got on the road and hit it. Over to his girl's very nice looking home.
She got a big house.
Clearly somewhere in Gwinnett County.
Oh, is that what you suspected? Okay. So he shows up there and apparently it's his girlfriend who has a kid. Oh boy. Bibi clearly, whatever the relationship here that Bibi has with this woman, he clearly has been neglecting several things, Brandon, because apparently Bibi hasn't paid several bills. Shit's falling apart there. But the reason why he's here is to cut this kid's hair, we learn, much to Alfred's chagrin, because he says this kid has he has an appointment.
It's before yours. I have an appointment. Yeah, his problem is before yours.
So what were you planning to do? What were you planning to do then, Bibi?
Well, all barbers do double book.
That's another thing. That's true.
Yes.
So
I love the lie that he tells to the girlfriends about. No, his car is broken down and everything. It's like what? Because like it was like why he got on the cake? Because she knows he's just come from the barbershop. And she said, right. he's a magician. And Paperboy throws the cake.
He froze his head.
Dracula.
Like, woo. Brandon. I was like, yes. Again, you know, he's not going to, I know he's that too, that you see the offer is not pushing back because he's like, you know what? Maybe the faster we get through this, the faster I get my hair done.
Right.
Right. So he's just pushing through. All right. So this is the scene that Brandon and I were talking about at the beginning of the episode about the, you know, why would Alfred put up for all this? Because here comes a really quick montage scene of Bibi cutting the kid's hair. And it is beautiful, Brandon. It was like, bam, 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 boom, done. And the kid looked fresh.
It was like superhero, it was like superpowers.
Yeah. Beautiful. Just immaculate work. You can tell that Bibi has every reason to brag about, you know, his skills. All right, cool. Brandon, what happens next?
First, the girlfriend's upstairs yelling, like, because she ain't no water coming on. And she's like, Bibi, did you pay the water bill? And he's like, yeah, of course I paid it. Why does my be hallucinating or crazy? So ain't no water coming. So he goes upstairs. And while he's upstairs, the little boy asks him, are he really a magician? Alfred's like, nah, man. That's what Bibi said. Bibi's stupid. That's not nice.
That's not nice. So pretty much the scene in the house pretty much ends.
It ends when the lights go out because the little boy is like, do a magic trick, and the lights come out. He's like, is that your trick? Because this nigga ain't paid the light bill either.
Listen, when I like how it ends like that because it's like this scene literally comes to a close because the lights are off because you just it's like as if the curtain just fell.
Yeah, because you can't cut no hair anyway with no electricity.
With no electricity. And I love that too because it's like it's really good because it technically speaking, he could have just cut Alfred's head there. You know, but obviously that happens. So yeah. And so that's how the scene pretty much ends. But before that,
he steals money out the girl's purse, out the woman's purse. And she said, did you steal my purse? It's for the haircut. And just walks out.
And he walks out. boy.
So they're back on the highway. And he's like, I'm sorry about this, man. But he's like, are you hungry? Hell yeah, I'm hungry. Alfred's actually messed up his whole day and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, you like Zaxby's? And Alfred was like, don't be rude, nigga. Of course I love Zaxby's.
So right at that moment, I thought to myself that, okay, so there's a redeeming quality behind Bibi, right? I'm thinking to myself, oh, well, you know what?
They gonna go to Bibi Zaxby's.
Knows how to take care of, yeah, Bibi knows how to take care of his
I people. Legit thought the next shot was going to be of them in the line at Zaxby's.
Mm-hmm.
And they right. Like, I thought at best maybe they're like splitting meals, something stupid like that. No. 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 This nigga pulls up to an unfinished townhome. Clearly somewhere deeper into Gwinnett County. Because that's how they've been out there, those fucking townhomes. And opens up a refrigerator.
Listen.
Inside of this unfinished home and pulls out some leftover wings and things platter where he's already ate. I think he's ate the things. And just left the wings. Because he's eating the coleslaw, he's eating the fries. He has eaten, I forgot if he ate the wings or the tenders. I think he ate the wings and left the tenders.
And he left the tenders. Listen, Brandon.
And he ate the bread. Thought, he ate the Texas bread that come with the plate.
When he pulled up to that place, I thought that I had missed a scene. Like, I thought that, oh no, something happened and, you know, I missed something or maybe there was a reference to something and I was going to like, ask you, like, is Zaxby's code for something else? Because I was like,
nigga, you know Zaxby's.
No, I know. So I was like, is Zaxby code for something else? Because I thought they were going to Zaxby's. And then this show, I was like, wait a second, I don't understand what's going on here.
And then he went there back away and pulled that black plate
out. That's what
I screamed so loud. I almost choked to death laughing at that shit.
That's when it hit me. I was like, oh my God, he didn't mean to actually go there. He just meant leftovers.
And then Paperboy throws the plate away and you see Bibi's eyes, like you see him
play his eyes got so big. No, you shouldn't waste food. I'm sorry. No, don't do that. No,
Ali, that food is probably spoiled.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Valid.
Probably get all kind of rush trying to eat that bullshit. And so this nigga is like, and so Paperboy wants, you know, go back to the barbershop. Of course, and get his haircut finished. But, you know, but Baby's like, well, man, I need some help with this lumber.
Listen, when he picked it up, when he was looking, he's like,
you got three, you got a couple of five, put your back into it.
Listen, Bibi is, because guys, for people who haven't seen this episode, Bibi is a skinny man.
He's a slim drink of a person.
Yeah.
But the funny part is, like, Paperboy's face, listen, Brian Tyree Henry is a master actor. Because he said it like, you can tell that he's pissed. He wants to hurt this dude, but he's like, my barber, though. They don't say it in the dialogue, but it's all in his performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so he actually goes and starts picking up this fucking wood, and then the white woman shows up.
then mess. that's when the episode actually, that's not peak mess, but it's really reaching critical mass.
Yeah. She's like, wait, I got reaching. My lumber. And he basically sort of lied about being the contractor, his son, and her husband having paid them and having signed a contract because they cheap. And she about to call the cop, like, call her husband and the cops. It was like, nigga, I'm on probation. We got to get out of here.
Listen, when he said that you better call your husband first, beige lady.
Yeah.
Right then I had to pause the episode because at this point my sides were hurting. I just couldn't do it anymore. I tried, but I couldn't. Baby is a whole mess. So they drive off.
With the wood.
With the lumber in the back, right? And so I guess you could say this is an example, you know, of your barber having, you know, side gigs, right? And for whatever reason, I don't know, even know if maybe Baby was partially working on this project or
no, whatever. He's just stealing wood to try to sell to somebody else.
Oh, no. Oh, he's definitely stealing it. But I'm thinking to myself, Brandon, why was there Zaxby's in the? I don't
Ali, have you ever seen like a under construction house? You can just walk into the motherfucker. There's no door.
He would have had to been doing that for a while for him to know that. Hey, guess
no,
what?
No, you don't.
I know there's food in the fridge.
All right.
He knew there was food in the fridge.
It was his food.
I'm giving away
way too much of my ain't shitness.
Continue. You know what? Let's continue.
I might indict myself on this recording. Let me be quiet.
I love how when they're driving away, like the next scene is just Paperboy's head is just hanging off to the side because he's just like, wow.
He's like Frederick Douglass.
He's already fed up with the day, right? But there's so much more to happen.
Yep.
so much.
So they driving and they see some three kids on the side of the road, three teenagers. And I literally was like, this nigga better not know them kids and turn around. This nigga knew them kids and turn around. And them kids start running. He chased them down. Of course, one of them is his son, Lamar.
Okay, so this part, I was legit like, what the shit is going on? Why did you just swing this? I mean, you literally did a U-turn and chased. What is going on? Why are you chasing after these kids? Come to find out, one of them is his kid, and
they are all truant from the schoolhouse.
Listen, Brandon, did you see how Paperboy he's trying to buckle, put his seatbelt on?
Yeah, and the seatbelt didn't work. He's like, oh, yeah, that one will work. And he got his hand stuck in them toothpicks. It's like he Bibby sells toothpicks 50 cents a pop for your teeth picking convenience.
Oh my God. I don't think I've cried yet for this Atlanta season, but this one, there was definitely water in my eyes. Because Bibby takes the opportunity to basically be a father right here, right now.
That ain't shit.
Right next to the highway exit, mind you. This is clearly a highway exit.
I'm pretty sure that's like somewhere in Doraville, someplace. It's giving me Peachtree Industrial Boulevard.
But the funny thing is, don't they use those same white slabs on a lot of different things?
Anyway? Yeah, it could be anywhere in Atlanta, but for some reason, it's giving me Peachtree Industrial. I don't know why.
That's true.
But
he decides that he's about to be a whole father here, and he even though he questions his kid about the fact that he's not in school, he then falls right up with, "But did you put up those posters I asked you to, Brandon? So
that's another job. The nigga is a street teamer. You know what a street teamer does?
What the hell is a street teamer, Brandon?
Record label or a movie company, when they're putting out a project, they hire people to go around and put up posters.
Okay.
That's what he does. And I laughed so hard. I was like, "You ain't in school and you put up none of these posters. You didn't make a dent in this." I was like, "Oh my God, he teaches the child to be ain't shit too."
This is some child labor shit and irresponsible as all fuck right now.
And the funniest part is like, the kid's like, "Hey, is that Paper Boy?" He's like, "Yeah, that's Paper Boy."
And no, he said, "No, wait a second. No. What happened was, okay, Bibby was like, he is basically admonishing the kid and saying that you're acting some sort of way in front of Paperboy." And he's like, "That ain't Paperboy." "Yes, it is. That's Paperboy."
And he's like, "Yeah, hey, come out here and inspire the youth."
Yep.
And he just does two thumbs up from the car seat. He doesn't.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's like, and this actor playing Lamar.
The kid.
This little nigga is rat. He's a great actor, but he's the character is raggedy, but it's like a perfect little punk ass teenager. He's like, "Hey, are you ready, Paper Boy? How come you ain't fresh? How come you like that? You look like a Super Saiyan?"
Super Saiyan. He said Super Saiyan, I died.
And Paper Boy gets out the car and walks right up to the boy's face. He's like, hey, we need a little look at him. He's like, "You know why I look like this? Because your punk ass daddy gonna be driving out right now over creation if I ain't cut my hair properly." And the way that this kid, when he turned his head away to look at the grown man in the eye, I was like, "Oh my God, he's such a fucking teenager." That's exactly the shit that we used to do when like your dad or your uncle would get up in your face and try to be looking like, "Man, I'm too cool to be looking at you in the face and shit." I was like, "Shit."
Oh my God.
And of course he's like, because his paper boy's like, "Hey, put me on, man."
Yeah, again, we see that again. I was just like, "Oh my God."
Because Paperboy, "I gotta go. I get my hair cut. I shit and I brush my goddamn teeth." That's like, anybody else.
He was like, "I need an opportunity to be regular. I just regular." Oh my God, this is too much. Anywho, so the kid joins the posse.
Yep.
In the truck.
And Paperboy screams up on the chairs, "Take your asses to school." I didn't even catch it the first time. I saw a car the second time and cried laughing. So they in the car again.
Oh my God.
And Bibby's talking about how much of a punk ain't shit his son is. He's not watching the road.
But he's not watching the road. Yes, thank you.
If Paperboy's like, "Bibby the road.
Bibby the road.
Bibby the road. Bibby the road."
Even the kid is saying Bibby. He's saying daddy. And what should happen? But of course, the inevitable is he gets into a fender bender with somebody.
Yeah.
Who's waiting. I think they're in line for an exit to get off the exit to get onto the highway, I think.
Yeah.
But he fender bends this person, and Brandon, who should come out the vehicle?
But a whole Asian woman.
It looked like a pregnant woman too, Brandon. Was she not pregnant?
Hold on, I'm gonna look at it. But yeah, I love the fact that Paperboy is like, I got I'm on probation, and Bibi's like, I got warrants. Get in the driver's seat. I can't get in the driver's seat. I got probation. I got warrants. Tell your kid to get in the driver's seat. I ain't got a license.
So everybody,
let me take a look at this Asian lady. She got out of the car and went for five.
I think is she not pregnant?
She's not pregnant. I don't think Ollie.
No, she's not pregnant.
That's offensive.
That's listen, Brandon. Why did first of all,
his Twitter handle is at aka Alibaba. Tweet him about how he got this woman was pregnant.
Brandon,
because her shirt was out.
Brandon, why did she wail for 40 days and 40 nights?
Because she's trying to listen. She might actually be hurt, given how fast that shit was going. But even if she ain't hurt like that, she is trying to set her case up for when the insurance adjuster gets at the police.
Brandon. When they drive past her, she lets out an even higher pitched wail. Brandon, I don't care if she's faking, but Brandon, that woman, she needs to be calmed down. What you need to be doing is you need to be recording the license plate number and stop all that wailing, because BB definitely just committed a crime and got away with it. Bibi said there are warrants on him, Brandon. He's a whole criminal. Somebody, Bibi needs to be stopped.
So he drives. He does a hell entire hit and run.
Somebody also needs. I need for the person who did the sound design for the episode to please also get an award. Because that's sort of a beat as the truck is driving off to all the different locations. It's like, it's almost like a transition beat for each.
So now, do you have the episode pulled up at all?
I do.
All right. I want you to look very closely at the next scene where they finally decide to pull their asses back up into the barbershop. First of all, I love that he calls his son Skipper. He's like, get out, Skipper. You were skipping school. Now, I want you to look at the cars in this parking lot.
Okay.
Because this is none of this is accidental. This is Atlanta. Donald Glover don't do shit accidental. Now, I want you to take note of, because like, Bibby's in a truck right now, right?
Right.
How many niggas you know actually drive trucks? I'll wait. Unless they have you for work. Now, there is a white car.
Mm-hmm. There's an
old Ford truck.
Old style truck.
And then next to that, it's like a 50s Beetle.
It's a bug. Yeah, Beetle, right?
Then a couple of things over. It's a goddamn Model T. as a porta potty, clearly is where he lives. Right. And then a goddamn recreational vehicle.
Yeah.
A whole recreational vehicle. Those all belong, quote unquote, to him.
You really think so?
Nigga, that's why they're there.
That's why the camera
is framed so that you get a good ass look at each and every last part of them. None of that is accidental.
This shows you just how many hats BB
this nigga wears. The way the frame is blocked as they go up the steps. Is frames that you keep a good eye on this fucking RV.
Yeah. Oh, especially the RV, because the RV is the biggest thing there.
Yeah. Right?
So right from there, you can tell Bibi, for all of his, you know, going up, he's a jack of all trades.
Like every barber. Do you know a barber who is not a jack of all trades? I've never known a barber who is just a barber.
He is a chameleon.
Right.
Whatever Bibi needs to do to make ends meet, he will do it.
Right. And so the kid goes inside, and then Paperboy's about to go inside, but Bibby's on the phone again, of course. He gets some Twitter phone calls. He's like, hey, man, I'll be right there. And he's like, hey, man, I got to go to my car quick. Paper Boy's had enough. He jacks his nigga up. He's he's about to throw him off the balcony. Like Michael Eaton threw them kids.
Grabs the shit out of him. Oh no. No. No, we're not doing it. No, no, Brandon.
He's like, oh, haircut, God. Haircut. And so there's a magical girl transformation scene in the next show.
Yes. 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 What? I mean, they,
this nigga come out of this chair looking like the package on the goddamn Just for Men box.
Look. Moon magic makeup, okay?
I was like, God damn, that's a good haircut.
BB strikes again.
And after all that, you know, Alfred lumbers out the door. He's like, hey, man, you ain't pay me. He's like, nigga, really? You ruined my day. You almost got me arrested with the fucking cops and the trouble with the fucking cops and everything. But man, you ain't pay me. So he takes out some money, like a 20, and he drops it on the ground. And then he's like, I know this nigga didn't drop my money. And he's like, hey, don't tip.
Can you believe him? Can you believe him? Brandon, the other thing is too, remember when I got the thing to make your hair curl? Like the thing that makes people's hair curl?
The sponge.
What do you call that? Yeah, whatever.
It's sponge. A curl sponge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bibi has the same one I have. Bibi has the same one I have. And he has like... If I could just marvel, like, because I have the episode pull up and I forgot that Paperboy also got a part in his hair too.
Yeah.
And it just looks, it looks immaculate. It looks really
good. Fresh. He looked fresh. He can be.
So personally, do you ever get parts in your hair, Brandon? Or
not anymore.
Okay. Cause I used to get it when I was a kid, but then I stopped and I just kept on cutting my hair real flat and just forget about it. But I kind of want to get back into it. I kind of want to try it out. I mean, shit, it doesn't cost anything extra. So might as well.
Right.
You know.
We transition to, like, I guess a couple of weeks from now where Paperboy comes back into the barbershop and he does the bitch ass nigga move or bitch ass nigga moves.
No.
I mean, fully understandable, but you know, everybody talks about you and looks at you when you do this. He walks right past Bibby into the open waiting chair of another barber.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Brandon, I didn't know it at the time how I would feel about this particular scene, but when he walked right past Bibby and into the chair, for just a second, I was in that barbershop. And I was in his shoes, and I felt so embarrassed.
Did you see him grab his? Did you see him clutch his pearls?
Yeah, he sure did, didn't he? I was embarrassed because all of a sudden I felt like this kind of cold, sort of sweat come over. Because in my head, I'm just like, man, I could never do that to my barber. I don't know if you could do that to your barber, Brandon, but I could. Even if I was upset with him, I could never think of doing that. Like, at that moment, I felt like as if something right there, Paperboy could have gotten popped.
And so he sits down to the new nigga's chair and he's like, he's telling our new barber what he's like, all right, so is that number two or number three? And Paperboy's like, he can't answer the question. He looks over at Bibby, who's over there with his back turned and his news out of quiet. And he just sits there and just stares off into space. And that's the end. Because when you have your regular barber, you don't have to explain how you want your hair.
Also, that's the other thing is too, knowing that you don't have to explain it, you don't know. You don't know because you're not a bird's eye view looking at how your hair is getting cut. You're not having an auto body experience. Most of the times, people just, you know, you're minding something else. You're paying attention to something. You're on your phone. Who cares? It's a barbershop. You're getting your hair cut. You shouldn't have to worry about exactly how your hair is getting cut. Usually, this is the regular. And usually, when you get up, it's done. So maybe he doesn't even know what to call it or how to explain it.
Right.
What an episode. So, Brandon, let me ask you. Mm-hmm. To what lengths will you go to get your hair cut by that one particular barber that you like?
If I told you how much I pay for a haircut, you'd slap me. That's how far the lengths.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Really?
That being said, the average price of a haircut has gone up exponentially in the last 7 years.
That's true. That is true. But you know, the funny thing is, like, I feel like as if when my barber tells me that the new price, like, for some reason, I don't even blink.
You see, the best thing about Dre was that he was giving me a goddamn discount. Because
you got that, you got grandfathered in.
I got grandfathered in.
Yeah, but I don't usually bat an eye when my barber's like, yeah, this is the new.
Oh, somebody else thought she was pregnant too.
Oh.
Let me see. I don't know if she didn't look pregnant to me.
I looked at it again and I don't think she was pregnant, Brandon. I just think her clothes were just
big rumpled on her.
Yeah, they were just rumpled.
Rumpled?
I think you're right.
Yes. Never mind. I won't do it. I didn't have to.
Oh, no. Do it again.
No, it's fine. Is that what y'all see in the island? Rumpled? Rumpled is what we say in America.
Moving on. moving on. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, and I know this is obviously not everyone's experience, but the one thing that I noticed between my experience as a kid going to my barbershop is we used to have to climb this hill to get to my barber. When I was a kid, my barber, you know, so you've seen Lord of the Rings, Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. So you know, y'all were doing all that walking.
So you know how, the hobbits, their houses were like, they looked like as if they were like, you had to dip your head in to get inside the door.
Yeah.
This was my barber shop.
Oh, Lord.
So it was one of those things where you climb a hill and then you go down an unpaved path. You know, you go down an unpaved path and there's like a door. And it almost feels, now I think about it, it almost feels like as if I'm on an adventure, like a Zelda adventure. And basically you dip your head in and voila, it's almost like as if you're in a cave. That's how the barbershop was. And, you know, everything was there. Everything that you needed was there, but it was a really interesting experience. It was a bit of a, you know, kind of like a 5K, I guess, to get there. Because it wasn't like as if you don't drive up that. Well, some people drove up that road, but it's like as a kid, you don't on the island. You don't get sort of chaperoned around by your parents every time you go out someplace, right? So they tell you, hey, go get your haircut. It's you and your friends, or you and your cousins, or whatever. You know, you guys just go walking, right? You go to get your haircut, and so it didn't matter to me at the time. But now I think about it, man, I used to walk quite the distance
to get a haircut. 5 miles in the hot, hot, hot island sun. Well, you see, I walked 5 miles in the hot, hot, hot island sun just to get my haircut.
You know what? I'm going to write a really terrible letter to Chadwick Boseman.
That did sound more like a Wakandan accent than a Dominican accent.
Yeah. I'm going to write a really bad...
you are writing me a letter.
Oh my
God. A mad letter. Why are you doing this? I wonder what the barbershops in Wakanda are like.
It's
they got vibranium clippers, first of all.
Obviously. Obviously. And you sit in a chair and you know how they have the hair dryer for the women? That's what comes over your head, and you just you press
like Jane Jetson.
You press a thing that says like It has like the number on the number on the chart for what you want. You just press the number, Brandon, that you want, right? And yeah. And there are vibranium blades, right, in there. And they cut your hair to what you want. And then boom, there you go. There you have it.
I used to love that shit. When Jane Jess would get in her chair. She's like, I want to get my hair done. And just the little shit come down. Poop, poop, poop.
Pretty much.
Somebody on the timeline was like, Zaxby's that good, y'all? I only heard about it on the timeline. Yes. Yes, it is that good.
Wait a second. Does that person, maybe in their part of the country, they don't have Zaxby's?
Yeah, yeah. It's only in the South. We probably should explain. It's a chicken restaurant, y'all. They serve chicken fingers and chicken wings and stuff there. It's a fast food restaurant. That's what it kind of
Brennan, how South. Would you rate Zaxby's as opposed to other chicken restaurants?
It's up there. Like, it's probably my favorite of the chicken restaurants. Like, Popeye's is good, but like, the biscuits be like, I don't like the biscuits, so they could have messed me up on that. Bojangles has better biscuits. But I want them to have like a medium in between they spicy and they mild chicken, like a little, like a meat, maybe like a not so mild, because like the spicy is too spicy, the mild is too mild. And the mild be unseasoned as fuck at Bojangles. The chicken be the same. The chicken don't have no pepper on it. It'd be the same color as a goddamn as a unwashed sock.
Uh-oh.
And of course, KFC need not apply.
So if you have to rank, Brandon, best chicken.
Zaxby's. Well, J.R. Crickets. I'm in Atlanta. Then Zaxby's.
Okay.
They went to J.R. Crickets in the first episode, if you recall. We got that lemon pepper wet.
Okay,
I forgot to mention that, you know, the girlfriend, he gets telling her like, you know, all that good Bible stuff he put me up on. And when he was walking out the door, he's like, he said something about baby Donald Trump, the devil busy.
oh boy. Okay.
All right, but yeah, we gotta go.
What an episode.
What an episode.
I think this was a big mood change from the episode prior. Helen.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the preview for the next episode, Brandon. Have you seen the preview for the next episode?
No, but speaking of that, because I'm psychic and you're gonna ask this. Lakeith Stanfield posted this on his Twitter today.
Okay.
Yeah, this Thursday's Atlanta. Please turn the volume all the way up and watch closely. It's my episode, homie. Devil smile emoji.
Uh-oh.
With Darius on his own episode. Only Jesus.
The episode is called Teddy Perkins.
Nigga. I might have to call you Thursday.
Brandon, I am not an Atlanta native. Do you know what that means?
I don't know what it means. We're going to find out on Thursday, though.
Oh, my
but
God.
But yeah, let's go ahead and get out of here for right now. If you guys have enjoyed what you've heard, you can find more at ssnpodcast.com. You can find the Say Something Nice podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Podbean, and everywhere else that fine podcasts are given away for free and not sold. You can find us on all social media under the handle at SSM Podcast. If you go to ssmpodcast.com/about, you can find all of our voicemail, email, contact information, all that kind of wonderful stuff. But yeah, thanks so much for riding with us as we review Atlanta. The regular show will resume somewhere towards the end of this month. Hopefully my moving is still doing weird things. There's an article from Curbed about Atlanta rents, but growing up, they ain't say nothing but a word. Trying to actually lock down a new place has been kind of frustrating. And as I'm going through my apartment and starting to throw things away, I might have to call you. I need help throwing things away. Not that I need you to actually do it. I need you to point in the direction and say, throw it away, Brandon. And I need to protest. I need you to say, do it. And I throw it away.
My time has come.
Oh, Lord.
I am the undisputed purge champion this side of the Eastern Seaboard.
Lord Jesus.
I will help you.
I'm gonna end up living like
if girl. It's the last thing I do.
All right, Scarlett. This has been the Say Something Nice podcast. I'm Brandon.
This is Ollie.
We'll see you guys next time.